Welcome, Raider Nation. Not the way any of you wanted the season to end as the Raiders fall to the Cincinnati Bengals in another game to give you a heart attack, right? Right down to the end. I want to thank you for joining us here on SportsKnot. This is your vent line. We are here to talk about, it was going to be vent or victory line. Unfortunately for Raider Nation, it is now the vent line. Lots to talk about, everything from officiating to lack of red zone success. We're going to talk all of that. And joining me is my partner, good friend of mine, and someone you all know too well as well, Mr. Evan Grote. He is the host of the Just Pod Baby podcast, part of our family here at SportsKnot. So you can check out his podcast. Also, you can check out our radio show. My name is Scott Branson. We do two radio shows, one on Friday nights in Southern California called Silver and Black Tonight on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. You can catch that at 6 p.m. Pacific every Friday all year round. So we don't just go during the football season. We're going to go all year round. Then in Las Vegas, we do Silver and Black Today game day, usually on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific. But today we did it on Saturday, obviously, because of the game being on Saturday. But Evan joins me now. And Evan, I want to start with this team because everybody clearly right now is disappointed. We want to see your comments. By the way, we're going to get to your comments, and you'll see them buzz up there. And of course, Unknown Raider guy's been listening to us and following us for a long time. Hey, man, sorry about the team. But we're going to get to a lot of your questions, your comments. That's why we're here. But first, I want to start with you, Evan, and talk about the fact that, you know, you look at this team, this Raiders team, they got into the playoffs. Going back, I said it on a radio show, and you even talked about it on your podcast this week, which was when they were 6-7, I gave them no chance to make the postseason. So the Raiders surprised us. They showed resiliency. The Gruden mess, the Henry Ruggs III terrible tragedy, everything that went on this season, most teams probably would have folded. So I want to start on the positives, Evan. This team showed some guts. Yes, they have some deficiencies, which showed up huge today in Cincinnati, and we're going to talk about that as well. But first, let's talk about that resiliency. This team, I mean, Evan, did you ever think that this team would go on a run at the end of the season, win four in a row to get in the playoffs?
Absolutely not. You know, I had this team written off after that 48-9 loss to Kansas City, much like many of other fans and followers of the Raiders out there. I didn't think there was any way they were going to recover from that. They had lost 5 out of 6 games. The offense was struggling to score points. I believe they were averaging about 16 points a game at that point in the season. So it looked bleak. And so the fact that they were able to you know, rebound and win the 4 games in a row to get to the playoffs, to me, it was a huge victory in itself. And although it's disappointing to get into the playoffs and have a chance there to tie the game late in the game, it didn't happen. But, you know, when you look back on the entirety of the season, Raider fans have to be happy. They have to look at this season as a success. All the adversity they dealt with, they overcame it. They stuck together and they made a playoff run, which is all we could ever ask for.
Yeah. And our good friend Rossi Biddle down in Australia, who just recovered from COVID. So we're glad to see you're doing well, my friend, said there's no moral loss or moral victories in this case. And I agree with you, Rossi. I'm not saying that, but I think Evan, your point though, that look, the fact that they got where they are, yes, Raider Nation wants nothing less than a championship. It's been a very, very long time, and I get that. But you look at all that they went through and the fact that they got to the playoffs, it ends in utter disappointment, of course, and we're going to get into the details on that because I have strong opinions around the officiating and things like that. But at the same time, you have to look at what they were able to do. And going back, Evan, you know, Mo and I talked about on our shows early in August, and I tweeted this out just a little bit before we went on the air, that this team had trouble on the offensive line. It had just so much trouble. Then Richie Incognito goes out. I said he would never play another down as a Raider, and I'm going to end up being right on that one. Again, nothing against him, just age and injury catches up with you. But this offensive line tonight was one of the main reasons this team wasn't able to prevail over the Bengals. And then you add in all of the penalties, okay? You had one drive with 3 drive-killing penalties, in essence, that really hurt them. You look at what this team has to go. Now that they're going to be in the offseason now, we can start looking ahead. Mark Davis can interview coaching candidates. And if anyone is out there, and again, this is nothing against Rich Bisaccia, who did what he needed to do as a step-in, as a substitute teacher, if you will. If there's any question that this team doesn't need a shakeup with the coaching staff, I would love to hear your argument because I just don't believe it. So, and I think we saw that tonight. Clock management, awful throughout the game. Derek Carr had some trouble with clock management. I'm not blaming Derek Carr. The coaching staff had trouble with it. We saw it throughout the entire season. And when you get in the playoffs, Evan, it's a whole different game. You have got to be on top of your game. You have to limit mistakes. And we saw the Raiders tonight just make too many mistakes to recover from.
Yeah, and to your point about the offensive line, I was with you and Mo 100% about the offensive line. I thought I understood why they kind of broke it down. They wanted to get younger. They wanted to go a little cheaper, and I understand that. But when you're starting a first-year center, you bring in a rookie at right tackle who struggled throughout the season, struggled again tonight, had a couple crucial penalties, and then you're relying on a 39-year-old Richie Incognito to bounce back from an Achilles injury. That didn't sit right with me. And I just assumed that it was going to be a problem for this team. And it was all throughout the year. You mentioned the penalties tonight, several big plays negated by holding penalties. They had a screen pass to Josh Jacobs that was negated because Leatherwood was illegally downfield. So again, the offensive line was an issue this year. It's going to be something that they have to address in the offseason. They got to address the right side of that offensive line. I don't know what they're going to do with Alex Leatherwood, but they need to bring in a new right tackle. In the second year, Leatherwood can make big steps.
Yeah, I hate people usually calling out rookies and saying that they were a bust of a pick because it's 1 year. It takes some players to develop. But it's hard for me tonight sitting here. Now, I know the game just ended. It's very fresh. But it's hard for me to sit here and look at the Alex Leatherwood pick and say that it's successful and that you should continue to give him another chance. Because if you look at, and I got to do some homework, and I promise the audience out there, I'll do something on sportsnot.com when we get a chance about Leatherwood, not to just pick on the guy, but how many drives, Evan, how many drives throughout the season, first downs, big plays that were negated because of penalties, not just with Leatherwood, but Leatherwood had significant amounts of them, and it just killed this team in so many ways, and that offense could just never get it in gear.
Absolutely. There's too many to count right now. And I know a lot of people talking about Leatherwood like to make the comparison of Colton Miller in his first season, because he did have some struggles as well.
Sure.
But there was a couple reasons why Miller struggled. He was playing with injuries that season. He dealt with a knee injury that year as well as a elbow injury. So some of his struggles were because of the injury. Leatherwood, that's not the case. He was relatively healthy as far as we know. And it was a lot of mental mistakes with the holding and just not being, the skill wasn't there, just being manhandled and beat off the edge when he was playing right tackle. The mechanics didn't seem like they were there. So again, I hate to pick on a rookie because you never want to, fully write a kid off after one season. You have to give him at least three seasons to fully give a true evaluation of him. But after 1 year, it's not looking good right now.
No, it's not looking good. And I mean, the rest of the offensive line, of course, another player in his third year, which was Parker, and he struggled. There were moments where he had moments, right? But he has been pressed into duty. He's really nothing more than a backup and not a great backup. But I want to hear the comments of Raider Nation out there. Make sure you drop a comment, whether you're watching us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or Facebook. Drop us a comment. This is the vent line. So vent on whatever you'd like to. Our good friends, Fabian Ramirez, Rossi are there. Michael James, thanks for your comment. Michael Delgado, thank you for yours. But chime in because I have a strong point of view too about this because tonight, okay, let's start with this. We're going to go into this now. Evan. The officiating. Jerome Boger's officiating crew was just downright awful in every facet of the game. It was terrible. The call, the Joe Burrow touchdown pass, I still think it would have been a touchdown. I'm sorry. The whistle blew, I understand, and I've been arguing all night that it was a terrible call. There's no question about that. There were other calls that they missed. This crew, Evan, should not work the NFL playoffs the remainder of the year. And the NFL refused to make a statement during the game saying that they would wait till after, which tells me they understood. But there were multiple times, Evan. There wasn't just the one time. There were multiple times that this crew could not get their act together. And I understand Raider Nation's sensitivity. I mean, remember, the ethical skeptic on Twitter. I brought him on my show a couple times going back 3 years ago to talk about the bias of the NFL with the Raiders, with the numbers showing it. Okay. So I'm not saying that, that doesn't happen, but I will tell you this, despite how bad that call was, Evan, that's not why they lost this game. Yes, they lost by 7 points. I understand that, but it's not why they lost. But when you look at this officiating, we saw this all year. The NFL doesn't seem to care, because guess what? We all continue to watch, Evan, no matter what's going on, no matter how many bad calls, the NFL has record TV ratings.
Yeah, I saw your tweet. You actually tweeted that out the other day, that it really doesn't matter because people are going to watch regardless. And I agree with you. And I think, you know, the play you talk about, the Burrow touchdown pass where the inadvertent whistle was blown, that's the one that everyone's going to look to and say that was the difference in the game. And I understand it was a blown call. It was absolutely the wrong call. The play should have been blown dead immediately when that whistle occurred. But it wasn't, and as you said, it wasn't the reason why they lost the game. I think if you want to look to a bigger reason why the Raiders lost the game, it starts with their efficiency in the red zone, which was a major factor. I think when you get into these types of big games, you cannot settle for field goals. You have to score touchdowns, and that's been a problem for this team all year long, along with the offensive line. It's been struggling to score touchdowns inside the red zone. And it not only was it a problem this year, it's been a problem for the last 2 or 3 years. So, you know, it's something they got to address. Maybe a new offensive coordinator is coming in next year. Who knows? But it's something that they need to work on in the offseason.
Well, and Evan, let's face it, the last 3 years. So I know John Gruden was gone after week five, but this is still John Gruden's team, his coaching staff. Under John Gruden, the red zone efficiency of the Raiders has been deplorable. It's been outright awful. Now, the Raiders won 4 games at the end of this season to get into the playoffs. That was a surprise. We talked about that when we came on the air. At the same time, this offense has not been able to score during that time. They had times when they had opportunities and they just never capitalized it. So let's face this again. Seven times in the red zone in Cincinnati, and they got one touchdown. You cannot win regular season games usually that way. And in the playoffs, especially on the road, you're not going to win games when you're in the red zone 7 times and score 1 touchdown. Now, is that on the play calling? Absolutely. That's a part of it. Is it on the offensive line's inability to string together a clean drive? Absolutely. Is it on Derek Carr sometimes? Absolutely. This is not a blame game on one person or one thing. This is a complete team effort. You win as a team, you lose as a team, okay? But that stat alone, you can complain all you want about the referees, and I'm there with you. It was terrible, okay? It was terrible, but that's not why they lost.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get into think about it. It was a one-score game, and they were terrible in the red zone. Just think what they could have done if they had converted 2 of those touchdowns. I mean, it would have been a completely different
ball. If they were 50%, Evan.
Yeah, if they were 50%, they win that game. And that's the sad part, is that despite all of the penalties, despite a couple drops, despite the defense, you know, not forcing a punt until the second half of the game, the Raiders were right there from, I believe it was the, you know, inside the red zone again with seconds on the clock with a chance to tie the game. So, again, disappointing the way the season ended, but a lot to look forward to in the future. There's going to be some changes, I believe. But you know what? The Raiders, they're on the up and up, it seems like.
Well, it does. And again, I want to talk too a little bit, and I'm pulling up the stats here so I can give you guys the final game stats. You look, you know, I thought it's interesting, you know, because you start talking about this and people think you're going to be criticizing Derek Carr, but you look at Derek Carr's numbers on the day. If you look at the numbers alone, looks pretty good. 29 of 54, okay, 310 yards, 1 touchdown. Of course, the late interception at the end of the game, with a passer rating of 69.2. On the other side of the equation, Joe Burrow, 24 of 34, much more efficient, 244 yards, 2 touchdowns, 110 rating. You look at Derek Carr, you know, there was Ian Rappaport put out a report earlier today saying that the Raiders might wait on the Derek Carr situation until they get a coach or maybe even a GM before they decide on that. I've been saying for weeks that I thought there's no question Derek Carr would be back. And then all of a sudden Rappaport tweets that. I don't know where that's coming from. I still think Derek Carr will be back. But when you look at a big game like this, Derek Carr finally got into the playoffs after everything that he's gone through in his career and the criticism against him. And I, on my radio show, I defended Derek Carr like I was, they call a Stan, right? Because I really believe that he was responsible for helping them get to the playoffs, Evan. But you look at the situation, you look at the last pass of the game, short of the goal line on fourth and goal, little things like that. People who don't like Derek Carr are going to find plenty in this game to criticize him for. People who defend Derek Carr, no matter what he does, will defend him continuously. But what do you make of his performance tonight in the playoffs on the big stage for the first time?
Yeah, I'm not going to be overly critical of him. I mean, we've talked about the red zone struggles, and I think that's there's blame that can go around for that play calling, receivers not doing a good enough job of getting open, the protection holding up, and maybe some of the decision-making by Carr. You talked about him throwing short of the end zone on a fourth and goal situation late in the game. It wouldn't have been a touchdown regardless if the ball was caught or not. But, you know, you look at the numbers, he wasn't very efficient, only 54% completion percentage. And I think when the Raiders look back on this game, the 54 attempts, that's not what they went into this game, right, you know, hoping to do. I think when you look at Josh Jacobs, he had a 6.4 yards per carry average. He was very effective tonight, but they were playing from behind. And I think the game plan might've gotten away from them a little bit, and they were forced to throw the ball a little bit more than they wanted to. And I think, you know, that might be something that, you know, they look back on it and wish that they could have done a little differently.
My former broadcast partner, Kelly Kreiner, out in Las Vegas, he's at a loss for words. He says, you know how hard that is. If you know Kelly, Kelly likes to talk and he's always got something to say. So he's at a loss for words as well. Fabian says, how can you not re-sign Derek Carr? Who else is out there? I think that's a fair question as well. And Fabian says, hey, Kelly, trash. That's right. Kelly's favorite buzzword. But yeah, I mean, you look at the stats of this game, Evan, and the Raiders on third down. Again, another problem for the Raiders. 8 of 18 on third down. Now, not only that, but they had 23 first downs to Cincinnati's 18. They had more yards in offense. They had 10 more offensive plays. They gained more yards on average, 5.4 to Cincinnati's 5.0. They rushed for 103 yards compared to Cincinnati. If you look at the stat sheet, you're asking yourself, how did this team not win this game? And it does. It goes back, and I'm going to continue to hammer on it, to red zone. Yeah. Efficiency. They could not score in the red zone. But that's why you and I were going back and forth on text today. And you know, again, Evan, you're a big Raider fan, right? So you're an objective Raider fan, but you're a fan. And you said, man, you know, I love that my Raiders are in the playoffs, but I'm seeing all these fans saying that we're going to go to the Super Bowl, and that's a little premature. And I think that when you watch this team, you can get caught up in the excitement. And there was a lot of Raider Nation here in Cincinnati over the week for the team being here and playing. But if you've watched this team all year, you knew it was going to be a struggle. And if they were going to win the game, it was going to be close, and it was going to be coming down to the fact that they had to make less mistakes than the Bengals. And clearly they made a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard not to, you know, as a fan, you know, you try not to get overly excited because of what they have done in the last four games. I mean, you felt like they had some karma going in their favor as well, but going into the game, you know, my thoughts were, what team is going to show up? Is it going to be the team that was winning four straight games, or was it going to be the team that we saw during the losing streak when they were really struggling? And so those were some of my reservations, but, you know, again, I thought they played well. We keep harping on the red zone. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but
a red horse.
That might be too many beers during the game, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just they didn't get it. They didn't. You know, they got to score seven. They cannot settle for field goals. And the one thing I don't think we mentioned was the turnover, the sack fumble early in the game. I know it was early in the game, but you know, that's one less possession for the Raiders. And I believe the Bengals did convert that into a field goal. So, you know, the Raiders did have two turnovers to the Bengals zero. So that, you know, that's a factor in the game as well.
Again, thanks for joining us here on Sports Not with our vent line. This is for Raider Nation to come in and vent over the loss, the frustration, a little bit of pride. Obviously the team got there, which was a good thing. And we have Aiden Marone here. Hey, Aiden, how you doing, buddy? Say hi to your parents for me. And don't forget to get some Dr. Jen's nutrition bars. They're awesome. He asked, if Rich Bisaccia goes, then do you think Gus Bradley goes? Absolutely. And Aiden, the thing is, you know, Gus Bradley had some great moments. Like, he brought this defense to respectability overall. But, you know, when they have a coaching change, you're not going to make a, you're not going to have a coach stay. The new coach is going to come in and make their own choice. So I think Gus Bradley's days in Las Vegas are done. We're going to take your comments here. We're going to get to them. My good friend, Wendy. Hi, Wendy. Hi, Scott. Yes, the mistakes, penalties, and drop passes killed them. There's no question. I mean, you go back to Deshaun Jackson's drop. Would it have been a first down? We could argue back and forth on that one. But that was early in the game. That one hurt. He did make up for it on a nice big catch that was negated by another offensive line penalty. And that's just how it went down. So those are things that are part of the game, and it happens. Tommy says that game should have been a tie. I think he's a little tongue in cheek there. But Rossi, again, this was the team that had won four straight. We just didn't execute on the last play where we have the past games. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true. But I will say this again: you put yourself in a position where you had to win on the last play. You don't want to do that, especially in the playoffs. It's just really difficult. And you saw there at the end, it was hard, I think, for them to get. Now, the Raiders did. I'm going to go back to my buddy Martin, my high school friend here, missing Diablo. Others. Yeah, I think that there's no question. And that's the thing, Evan, we'll talk about the Raiders defense now, since Aiden brought it up as well with Gus Bradley. A couple things tonight. I thought, you know, they did a good job early on, especially of containing Max Crosby. Max finally got loose in the second half and had another good game as well. But the defense overall struggled. Diablo went out with the injury. You brought in Corey Littleton, who was, again, not impressive again after that big contract he signed a few years ago. So I think that you look at the defense has a long way to go. They overachieved in so many ways. I thought the mistake Gus Bradley made, and tell me if I'm wrong here. I thought the mistake Gus Bradley, he doesn't blitz, right? But Joe Burrow, he blitzed a couple times, and Joe Burrow burned him. Joe Burrow is one of the best. I think he's top two.
Very good
against the blitz. Yes. So you don't want to blitz Joe Burrow, but we saw Gus Bradley blitz, and it really hurt them. They could not contain Ja'Marr Chase. Faison, who went out with an injury, covered him early. Was not a good matchup. The Raiders need help in the secondary still, and so I think you saw that you had a Bengals roster. Not that the Bengals, I don't think the Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl, but the Bengals are just a little bit ahead of the Raiders, I think, from an overall talent level.
Oh yeah. I mean, look at that offense. I mean, there's so many weapons on that offense for Burrow and with Boyd and Chase. I mean, Chase is just phenomenal. I was texting you earlier, the Raiders got to find themselves a Ja'Marr Chase. That's what they need. But yeah, I mean, talking about the defense, they didn't force a punt until midway through the third quarter. I mean, that's a problem. And the Bengals were able to score at least a field goal and every possession prior to that point in the game. So, you know, when your offense is struggling inside the red zone and your defense can't get a stop, that's a bad formula. So they weren't playing complementary football tonight. We had seen that in a couple games prior during the 4-game win streak. It did not happen tonight. The complementary football was not there.
No, it just wasn't. And I mean, you look at some of the other numbers here. Of course, we saw Josh Jacobs, and they made special mention of it on the broadcast to say that Josh Jacobs gets better as the day goes on. 13 carries, 83 yards. He had the one long 35-yard one, which was beautiful. That Josh Jacobs that we had come to kind of know in his rookie year and since then when he's healthy – showed up the last 3 weeks of the season. There's no question about it. And again, I think that, you know, the inconsistencies in the play calling really stuck out at me tonight. You know, I know people in Raider Nation complain about it really have been on top of the idea that Greg Olsen is not the guy you want calling your offense. I do think, and Evan, I think you and I talked about this before on the podcast when you and I and Mo did a podcast together, was the fact that, you know, John Gruden leaving, you know, John Gruden got a lot of criticism for his play calling. But overall, I think they might have missed a little bit of his imagination down the stretch here.
Yeah, you know, for all the criticism that Gruden got. And I think a lot of it was warranted. I think at times he was overly conservative and whatnot. Yep. And, but, you know, he was a very good play caller. No, there's no doubt about it. It was a major upgrade on what they had had the years prior to him getting there. And I think you could see there was an obvious drop off once he was resigned. So again, that's why I don't think that, the Raiders could bring back Bisaccia at this point, because if I knew that Bisaccia was willing to upgrade the OC, that might make me feel a little better, but I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if he would, retain Olsen or not, but I do think the play calling was an issue, once Gruden resigned.
Yeah. Aiden brings up a good point about switching out defensive coordinators with a new head coach, which I'm in favor of and think that's going to happen for sure. Does somebody come in and go from a 4-3 to 3-4? Huge problem for defensive line, because you have Crosby and Ngakoue. They're pure 4-3 ends. I think, yes, I think when you bring in somebody, it's a great point, Aiden. When you bring in a new coach, I think that person's going to realize, look at the roster and say, I don't think you're going to have somebody come in and switch to a 3-4. I just don't. I think you're going to see a 4-3. They're going to look at the strengths of that defense, which clearly on the end. And don't forget, they need an upgrade, the Raiders do, on the inside of that interior of that defensive line as well. But they played well for who they have there. When you talk about those guys like Jonathan Hankins, they did the best that they could, but they do need an upgrade there. And so I think you're going to see them do that. But I don't think they'll move away from the 4-3. I think you'll see a coach come in and realize what the strength of that defense is, build around it. Because, again, with all that's happened this year, I've said consistently, and I know you have too, Evan, I've said consistently that this isn't a complete rebuild, this team. This isn't the team going back 10 years where you had no talent and you had to completely start over. Now, the Raiders' misses on draft picks significantly hurt them. That set them back, I think, a couple years. So is this team going to be a championship team next year? I still don't think so. I think you have a couple years until you can really build it out. But Evan, they have a good foundation there on defense. On offense, you got to look at the offensive line. Clearly now you have to look at the receiving core. So some of the issues we've talked about for a couple years now are back. And that's what this new head coach, and if Mike Mayock isn't retained, which we don't know at this point what the status of that is, they're going to have to go in and set the priorities. Priority number one has to be offensive line, followed up by, I think, those the wide receiver position, and then the defensive side.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. Look, this is a 10-win team. I mean, you don't tear down 10-win teams. There's some talent in place here. You mentioned it, offensive line, the right side especially. They got to bring in a playmaker at wide receiver to fill the void that was left behind with Henry Ruggs. And then continue to add some pieces along the defense. And one of the things I heard you and Mo talking about on your Friday night show was, on top of that, they have some decisions to make with contracts that are coming up. Derek Carr being one of them. Darren Waller, there's been a lot of buzz about, what's going to happen with him. Josh Jacobs, the fifth-year option. He's giving them something a little bit more to think about here, the way he played in the last couple of games. But I like what you said. I like where your mindset was at about, not making a long-term decision based on a small sample size, what we have seen here from him in the last couple of weeks where he played really well. And you're like, oh, you got to bring this guy back. You got to look at the big picture with a guy like Josh Jacobs. He's been prone to injury. And so when you're thinking about throwing $10 million at a running back who's been injury prone, that's something you got to think a little extra harder about. But I agree, this team, there's no need for a complete teardown. I think you can tweak a few things on defense. Maybe obviously bring an upgrade at offensive coordinator and head coach and continue to build up the offensive line. And I think they'll be in good shape for next year.
Yeah. And it hurts. I mean, the whole Henry Ruggs situation, I bring up Henry Ruggs right now because I'm looking at the numbers for Jamar Chase, 12 targets, 9 receptions, 116 yards. You add in another 3 rushes for 23 yards, including a 15-yard run. That's the kind of player that the Raiders expected Henry Ruggs to be. And we saw him progress nicely up until the tragedy and his poor decision and what he did with the accident, of course. And so it shows you, I mean, if you look at the Bengals and you look at the model that they've built, and I know Raider Nation doesn't want to talk about the Bengals, but I think you got to look at what they've been able to do. Their offensive line is not great either. Remember, Max Crosby was going up against the backup right tackle tonight for the Bengals. So you look at the situation that they have. They got their young quarterback, and that's not a knock against Derek Carr. But the Raiders now, with Derek Carr going into his 9th season, to your point about the contracts, they have to start thinking about the next quarterback. I'm not saying they're going to go get a guy this year, but they have to start thinking about it, because you need to think into the future as players get older and as things progress there. But the contract situation on offense, because this offense, you know, everyone thought the offense was a strength going into the season, and it certainly did well those first 5 weeks of the season before the Gruden disaster. But at the same time, it just fell apart. It never really was able to score points down the stretch, even though they won. They were kind of, as someone said on Twitter to me the other day, to use a Vegas term, they were playing with kind of house money. Somehow they would put together these late drives, and credit Derek Carr for that. But they didn't have that person to stretch the field. Then Darren Waller, remember, Darren Waller out for 5 weeks. Yes. That really hurt this team. Now, Hunter Renfrow stepped up, but then you saw even tonight, Hunter Renfrow was getting doubled. They were leaving Waller in single coverage because Waller's just not 100%. That's not his fault. It's an injury. And he did come up with a big catch, by the way. But I just think that if you look at this thing and you look at the offense, boy, there's a lot of decisions there to be made. I think you give Jacobs the fifth-year option. I don't sign him to a long-term deal. And say, okay, you did well at the end of the season. You got to stay healthy. We'll see how you do next year, and then we'll talk about a contract extension. But we'll see what he thinks about that. That's going to be interesting. But you look at that, and then you start to think about the head coaching situation, right? So we have GC here. If Jim Harbaugh hiring comes true and he hires Vic Fangio and has his 3-4 defense, I don't think Vic Fangio is going to be with Jim Harbaugh. I'm just going to say that up front. I know people like Vic Fangio because he does put together great defenses. I just don't see that happen. What about you, Evan?
Well, you know, they have a history together, but
they do.
You know, so, and I, one of the things I'm a big Harbaugh guy. I would be all for that. And a couple weeks ago, I was all for Fangio as well. And, you know, I totally overlooked that 3-4 defense that he plays. Just the other day, I saw somebody tweeting it out, and it really made me think, because, you know, Ngakoue was in a 3-4 defense with Baltimore, I believe, and he was very unhappy there. And so I think there is something to that. So I'm starting to lean towards the way you're thinking, that if Harbaugh is brought in, you know, they're going to look hard at the players, the personnel they have on this defense, and they're going to want to bring in the best coordinator who can get the most out of those players. And you know, moving guys like Ngakoue or Crosby to a 3-4, that might not be the best thing for this defense. Although Fangio is a great defensive mind, you know, you got to look at your personnel. You got to look at the things that they do well, and find the best scheme for them. So I do think that you're on the right track there. I don't know if Fangio comes over with Harbaugh should the Raiders get Harbaugh.
Yeah, that's a big if, by the way, because I know it's been very quiet, which actually I look at as a positive, because the Raiders were still playing. So you weren't going to have that happen. You weren't going to have stuff leak out about him talking, because Mark Davis even today said, look, We're not doing head coaching interviews. We have a head coach and we're in the playoffs, right? So now that changes today. So we'll see what the storyline is tomorrow as you start to maybe see that head up. Rossi asked, though, do you pick a system to suit the players or players to suit the system? Good question.
Yeah, I think, you know, that is a great question. And I'm not sure if I had the right answer, but I think when you're like starting from scratch, if it's a complete rebuild, you know, and you're bringing in a defensive coordinator and your cupboards are bare on defense, you're going to bring in players that fit that coach's scheme. But the cupboards aren't bare for this Raiders defense. They have players in place right now that can be effective. Max Crosby, second team all pro. So it might be wiser to bring in a coach that can get the best out of the most out of those players, you know, and what they do better, you know, what the scheme that fits them better. So
yeah, no doubt about it.
Great question though.
Tommy Tovar, Harbaugh and Flores. And Flores is going to be head coach, my man. Yeah. He's not going to be a coordinator. In fact, he already interviewed in Houston. I think Chicago's on his list as well.
I wouldn't mind the Raiders interviewing him, actually. I mean,
I wouldn't either.
I think I'd prefer an offensive head coach, but yeah. I mean, he's a heck of a coach. I think he got a raw deal in Miami.
He did. He didn't get along with the GM there. And no matter how well you do, if you don't get along with your boss, it's probably not going to survive. Yeah. But you know, you have to look at that. When you have superstars, it's Aiden again, Crosby and Yannick have to stick with a 4-3. Here's the thing though, Aiden, I will say this Evan mentioned it earlier. Yannick Ngakoue is on a 1-year contract, right? Evan, double check me on that one.
I believe it was a two-year. So,
but it's yeah. So
1 year remaining.
Right. So he's got 1 year remaining, but at the same time, you know, you have to be careful there too, because you don't know. I mean, he's going to want a raise, by the way, yeah. I think. And so he's got a year left on his contract, and they can make him play it out if they want to. But he's got a great argument for getting more money. So what do you do with him? So if you did, let's say, and again, I maybe I'm just all wet on this. I just don't think they're going to go to a 3-4. Even with Harbaugh coming in. I know he did it at San Francisco, and maybe I'll be wrong on that one if Harbaugh's the coach. But they have a lot of answers. And here's GC again with a question. So we want to get to this stuff right away. Bill Plaschke was hinting on Around the Horn that Jim Harbaugh was going to be hired. Well, Plaschke's right, and he's wrong a lot too. So we all are, by the way. We all guess stuff. But obviously he's got some good connections. So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, I think you're going to start to hear names trickle out. I mean, Harbaugh, the relationship with Mark Davis is so close that you got to think there's a lot of fire there with that smoke. And it could happen very quickly, right, Evan? I mean, Raiders are out now, so yeah. we could be talking about Jim Harbaugh or someone else. They have to go through the interview process, by the way. So they have to, because of the Rooney Rule, which the Raiders were heavily criticized over when they hired John Gruden, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to go through interviews. So they could fast track that, and they could get to hiring a coach maybe by the end of the week. You just don't know. And I know that a lot of Raider Nation, like you, Evan, very excited about the specter of Jim Harbaugh coming on board. And Fabian says he's heard Harbaugh's going to Chicago. That's a lot of people in Chicago who want Jim Harbaugh. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I haven't seen any big. If you have a link to a good report that says that, let me know there as well. Raider Nation, Full Moon Records. Oh, that's a long one. Coach B will be their coach next year. You're saying Bisaccia will be the coach of the Raiders next year. I'd be willing to bet you quite a bit of money on that one. I don't think that's going to happen.
He's made a great case, but I just don't see it. I mean, he's made it very difficult. I think had he won this game, it would have been a heck of a lot more difficult, but I think at the end of the day, they're going to look to upgrade that coach.
Yeah, I think so too. Aiden asks, Casey Hayward, another 1 year priority, because without Bradley, he might not want to come back. I don't know about that. I think Casey Hayward did a great job this year. He's undersized. I think the Raiders need to go out and find some corners with size. I mean, that's what you saw tonight. If Casey Hayward was covering Jamar Chase, for example, would that have been a better matchup? I don't know. He's a better defensive back than Faison is, but he doesn't have the size. And in today's NFL, you have to do that. JD asks about Brian Flores. We just mentioned this, JD. We would love for the Raiders. I would be shocked if they don't at least interview Brian Flores, but he is in demand. He's going to be costly for sure. Tommy says we need a Lombardi trophy. Absolutely. I think everybody agrees with that. And Wendy, a radio personality, said that Harbaugh to Chicago. What, you have something against radio personalities?
Has he even,
come
he
on,
has
Wendy?
He no, hasn't even kidding. Interviewed yet with anyone.
No, he hasn't interviewed for anybody. Look, he can go wherever he wants. So he's going to pick his job. And JD says losing Hayward would hurt that D. I agree. I think you want to bring Hayward back. I don't know. Listen, he came here to the Raiders because Gus Bradley was there. It was one of the reasons, I'm sure, because he knew the system. But if the system's similar and he fits well in it and he sees a place for him, it's a business, you know, and you like your guys, you like Gus Bradley. He's played for him, obviously, twice. But at the same time, if he likes the Raiders and he likes Las Vegas and he likes what the program's doing and the new coach that comes in and the DC that comes in, I could see him wanting to stay because he did really have a good year with the Raiders. So it'll be interesting to see with that. Evan, you look at the situation on defense. I'm still concerned 4 years running now, the Raiders and linebackers. The Raiders have not drafted a linebacker in a long time. We can talk all you want about Nicholas Morrow, who's a great story, and unfortunately he couldn't go today, and he's worked his way back. He will be in the mix, there's no question. The Corey Littleton signing didn't work out. Nick Kwiatkowski didn't work out. And you have Diablo, who's doing a great job, a good young player, but you really need a significant upgrade at linebacker.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Denzel Perryman, they traded for him. It was a great move. He came in and played some great football for the Raiders. I'm not sure what his contract situation is like. I'm assuming it's a one-year deal. So, you know, what are they going to decide to do with him? I think he brought a lot of attitude to this defense. But again, thinking long-term here, like you said, other than Diablo, I mean, who's there? So it's a position they have to address. You know, I haven't began my draft research yet, but look at what a difference a stud linebacker can do. Micah Parsons in Dallas. I mean, he's totally transformed that defense. Now, are you going to get a Micah Parsons? Probably not, but you could see how important the position is. If you can get a guy that is as dominant as he is, he can really transform your entire defense. So it's been a while since they've had one of those guys. I do like what I saw from Divine Diablo this year in a small sample size. Hopefully he'll continue to grow and continue to improve. And I do think they found something with him in the middle rounds of the draft.
Yeah. Also, our good friend Shashi says Perryman's on a 2-year. Yes, he is.
Okay.
So that's good. And then what he said, Rossi Evan, is that a copy and paste from the past 3 drafts? We need a linebacker. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying, Rossi. Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, you need that alpha dog at linebacker. You need somebody like that. And Perryman, obviously, at his advanced years, here I am, the older guy in the room talking about that, but he's a good player and clearly just meant so much to this Raiders team this year. Huge from a leadership standpoint on the field and off the field. But at the same time, they need to upgrade that position. Same with defensive back. We don't know. Also, Jonathan Abram lost to injury again. And I'm not sure what they're going to do there. I don't know that he's back.
Yeah. I don't see it. I don't see it. You know, his play did improve this year a little bit with his new role, you know, playing closer to the line of scrimmage as a box safety. But, you know, I think the number, the fifth year extension for him is somewhere in that $8 million range. That's a lot of money to pay a guy that doesn't really make a whole lot of impact plays. He doesn't create turnovers. He doesn't take the ball away. He's essentially like a, you know, another linebacker out there who struggles in coverage. I don't see it. You know, he's shown he's had some injuries, you know, so I don't see him getting that extension.
Yeah, no, I agree. What's the status forecast on all of those 1-year rookie contracts and 4th-year options? Yes, there's a lot of them coming up that draft. And that's why I've been talking about the misses in the draft and how it's hurt this team. Right. And so that's where, you know, and I like Mike Mayock. I believe John Gruden was 99% in control of most of those picks. And so how fair is it to criticize Mayock for them? But at the same time, if I'm Mark Davis and I'm bringing in a new coach and changing the culture, if you will, in the building out of need, then you might want to go with the GM. Now, it depends who's available out there. Who's he looking at? Or Mike Mayock might get another year as well. GC Perryman, Morrow, and Lloyd in the draft. Yeah, I like Lloyd too. Bring back Incognito. Tommy, he's not going to play again. I said this in August, my man. I just told you. He's just, it's not that he's a bad player.
Big
he's a beast.
Incognito fan over here.
Yes. And Tommy, I love you, Tommy. I'm a big Incognito fan. But he's just, you know, it's just age. I mean, believe me, I'm at the age where sometimes I get out of a chair and I get hurt. So I get it. Like, it's hard to recover. But I just think the situation's not going to improve for him. Just in case, 008, sick and tired of these OCs overthinking every play. Now, let's talk about that, actually, because I think this is a fair criticism of Carr as well. Now, I agree with you on the OC, no question. Play calling has been horrific at times. But I also think my good friend Jason Fitz from ESPN tweeted out towards the end of the game. He's like, hey, sometimes Derek Carr's got to get to the line, just take the play and go instead of, you know, all the audibles, and then you get down to 1 second and you're hurrying up a play and we see bad things happen. So I think there's a little bit of that. Now, that could be on the OC. I know everyone talks, Evan, about the great relationship. The reason Olsen came back with Gruden was because of Carr, because of their history together. Right. But I don't see that relationship from a football perspective now has worked out well.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. And to your point about all the play changing at the line of scrimmage, and we know how cerebral Carr is. We know that he's very intelligent and, you know, since a young kid, he knew how to read defenses. That's been well documented, but I do think that was a problem at times, you know, on the road in a hostile environment. You're at the line of scrimmage trying to change plays with the clock ticking down. We saw in that final drive, I believe it was a 4th down. He had to call a timeout there. Luckily, that didn't come back to haunt them because, you know, they had to save time there to get the ball back, to have an opportunity to drive down the field. But I agree with you. I think sometimes maybe he's overthinking it a bit and maybe not on the same page there as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Aiden talking about Denzel Good coming back. Yes, Denzel Good's a good player. Good player. But at the same time, they might look to upgrade throughout, though. I think Denzel is a good player. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know how he's coming back from his injury and what he looks like. So I think that's going to be how it goes. Here's Alan says, I think Mark blows this whole team up, unfortunately. What do you mean, Alan? Because I front office, yes. Coaching staff, yes. Parts of the roster, yes. But I don't think the team is that far away that you have to blow everything up, right? I mean, this was not a team that won four games. They won 10 games. And I know towards the end of the season, they were kind of doing it with smoke and mirrors, and they had some great, great drives led by Derek Carr in clutch situations to win the games. But I just don't think completely sweeping everybody out is going to work. I just don't see it happening. But maybe you can come back and tell me I'm wrong at some point. Yes, O-line upgrade, no doubt about it. Evan, on the game today, a couple things really jumped out at me too with the team. And I think this might go to the coaching situation too. Again, respect Coach Bisaccia for what he did, but I just didn't see a lot of that first drive. They looked pretty good on the first drive. Obviously they couldn't put it in the end zone, which was a problem, but I felt like the Raiders, even against the Chargers in that second half, when things started to fall apart a little bit, I see kind of like a lack of urgency. And at times the team seems to kind of lose focus. Did you get the same sense?
I'm not sure I saw that. I think, This is a team that was, playing in their first playoff game in a long time, a lot of young players. And it seemed like they couldn't get in any kind of rhythm. Maybe the moment was a little bit too big for them early in the game. And I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the coaching. I just think that was, lack of experience in that situation. Now, on the other hand, you had the Bengals, who are also a very young team with a very young head coach, and they seem to be settled in right away. But again, playing at home, I think they had a big, played a big role in the game. And, I'm not quite sure I could say that I agree that it was a coaching issue. I just think that it was, being on the road in a big game, and it just took them a while to kind of get settled in, especially offensively.
Okay, that's fair. How dare you disagree with me? No, I'm just kidding. That's fair. I think that's a good point. But I will tell you that I also was talking to some folks during the game, and they brought up a good point. They said, hey, this Raiders team coming after a short week,
yes,
with that emotional game at home against the Chargers, that amazing, instant classic NFL game, having to go on the road to Cincinnati. I'm not even going to talk about the cold, but we just because it actually turned out to be not a bad day considering what time of the year it is. So you look at that and you think about the emotional toll, including everything that happened to this team during the course of the year. I think that's too a little bit of what you're talking about, is being on that big stage, being in that big moment on short period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about what it took just to get to this game. I mean, the last five games were essentially all playoff games for this team. And so I think you're 100% correct. It was kind of coming down from that emotional high that they've been on and traveling east, short week. You mentioned it. It just took them a while. I think that last game against the Chargers took a little bit more out of them. And although they were, they still had an opportunity late in this game to at least tie it up. But if they had started a little faster, perhaps things could have been a little different.
Well, and that's the point, right? We've seen that. That's something that we've said week in, week out, which is if this team would just start faster and have some urgency and get on the board and score touchdowns. And that's the thing you got to look at, too. And I think the fair criticism of Derek Carr. And Derek Carr, I know as a player, will look within himself and say, okay, what could I have done better? He talks about it all the time. And I think that's what he has to do too, as the quarterback, what could he have done better to help that offense score in key situations? What could the coaching staff do? I also think too, that the offensive line, struggle. The struggles were so bad at times that it was really hard for Over to come. I'm not making excuses for Derek Carr. I'm talking about the entire offense. Then you have Foster Moreau, which I know a lot of Raider fans like Foster Moreau, but Foster Moreau is absolutely brutal as a blocker, which is so surprising to me, Evan, because in college, I know college, NFL, it's different. In college, he was a very good blocker. So you add that extra tight end in there, and he really didn't provide a lot of relief.
No, he didn't. And that we saw on that sack fumble early in the game. I mean, he totally got manhandled by Hendrickson there. And that is something we have seen from him all year long, is struggling in those one-on-one situations. And so it begs the question, why are you putting him in those situations in the first place? You know, true. Going back to the offensive coordinator and the coaching, I don't understand it. I think he's better utilized as a receiving tight end. I don't think he should be involved as much in the blocking game. I understand, you know, that's part of playing the position, but he has shown that is not an area of strength for him, at least this year, especially. And so I think overall, when you look back on his entire season, it's been a disappointment, because if you think back at the beginning of the season, and I know this was when Gruden was here, but Gruden was talking him up a lot in the offseason as a guy who he thought could be a breakout candidate. We really didn't see it.
Yeah, no, we just didn't see that, and so we'll have to see. Rossi, Chiefs Cowboys get a Saturday game last week and neither play today. NFL doing NFL things. Yes, but the NFL did not prevent Rossi, the Raiders, from going into the red zone 7 times and only scoring 1 touchdown. So I'm not arguing with you. By the way, I saw somebody comment here. Let me find the comment. Oh, it was Tommy talking about the Raiders. We look to next year, Evan. The Raiders have a really, really, really tough schedule.
Yeah, you know, I try not to look into that a whole lot. You know, it's a year-to-year league, and one of the things that I like to look at is, and I started doing it this year especially, is not looking at the strength of schedule based on the previous year's win total. Mm-hmm. I like to look at it based on the Vegas win-loss total, because I think that's a better indicator, because, you know, strength of schedule doesn't take into consideration coaching changes that were made, free agents that were signed, draft picks, all of that is based on last year's record. So I don't know if that's a fair indicator. So I try not to look too much at that. I find that Vegas line over for the wins totals. And when that comes out, that I think that's a better indicator of, you know, the strength of schedule.
Yeah, it is. And listen, the bottom line is you want to win and you want to do well. You don't want an easy schedule. Like, I mean, I understand some teams get easier schedules. It seems like they happen to be in New England all the time and other places. But again, they're in the AFC East, which has not been a great division. Now, of course, Evan, where you're at, the Bills, who are playing right now against the Patriots, trying to vex that demon that's haunted all of Bills Mafia.
And one more point to the schedule. Yeah, sorry to interrupt you. I mean, take a look at a couple of the games they lost that were supposed to be easy games. The Giants, the Bears, you know, the Redskins weren't, when you look back when the schedule first came out, you thought, oh, that's going to be a win. So, you know, it's week to week. It's year to year. You know, it's hard to tell. Every game is a challenge, and it doesn't matter the win-loss record at the time.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I think the Raiders, you look at it, look, they finally have settled in Las Vegas. They still need to improve their home record. I think the end of the season run really fired up Vegas and the fans there, especially newer Raider fans. You saw that last game against the Chargers. To me, Evan, that was the first time where you felt like the Raiders had a home field advantage against the Chargers, right? It was clear. You could hear it audibly on the air, over TV, on the radio, wherever you're listening to the game, you could see it. And so I think that's what you have to look at. Everybody's really disappointed tonight, as you should be, for how the game went down today. But at the same time, this team, this franchise, to me, if they make the right moves in the offseason with a coaching situation, we'll see what happens with GM. If they do that, they go out and acquire the players they need to get better, then this franchise is on good footing. I think Raider Nation should still feel better about where things are going, despite all of the crap that everyone had to go through this year. It really is, to me, the glass half full.
Absolutely. I mean, think about where this team was a few years ago. You had Gruden come in, 4-12, 7-9, 8-8, 10-7 with a playoff berth. So, I mean, that's progress in every season. And this year they got to the playoffs. It was something that fans were, you know, hoping for many years. It happened this year. And so I think there's a lot to be excited about. Yes, there was a lot of adversity this year, a lot of things that, you know, made you frustrated as a fan, but This is a playoff team. They've got a pretty good roster. There's a chance that they can bring in a really good head coach, possibly a Jim Harbaugh. And if they can do that, if they can nail the head coach and you know, a couple of these early round draft picks, maybe perhaps as well, because that's an area they've struggled. I don't see why this team cannot be back in the playoffs again next year. I like the trajectory of this team. So, you know, I look back on this season. I was frustrated at times. I counted them out after that after the Chiefs game. They totally surprised me. 1-4 straight got into the playoffs. So I'm satisfied as a fan, and I'm excited about the offseason and next season. I think they have a lot to build on going forward, and the fan base should be excited about it.
Nicely said. Rossi says, Carr needed to support the OL today, get the play called, lined up 15 seconds to go. Yeah, Rossi, I agree. We talked about the beginning, right, too, which was the clock management today by the quarterback, by the coaching staff, left a lot to be desired. GC asks, Harbaugh demand full control. I think he's not going to have full control like Gruden had full control, but in today's NFL, when you go get a coach like that, they have a lot more say in the roster. There's no question about it. And so I think you need to find a coach and a GM who can work symbiotically together and be on the same page, which can Mayock be that guy with a guy like Jim Harbaugh? I think he can be. And so we'll do that. Hey, Michael, thanks for joining us, man. I appreciate it. It's the first time in a long time anybody's called me a gentleman. But thank you. No, it's good. It's good that you're here, lifelong Raider fan. Also, Fabian, you said you miss us doing online chat shows. We announced earlier, Evan, in the week that if you don't know the history, if you're new, I started Silver and Black Today back in 2017 as a website, local website covering the Raiders. That morphed into Vegas Sports Today, which covered all of Vegas sports because Vegas has this amazing sports renaissance going on. Just this week, we announced we are now becoming part of Sportsnot, which is where you're seeing us today. You see the little logo up in the corner up there. That's what we're doing here. So we're going to do a lot more of this, Fabian. And you're going to see me and Evan, and we'll get Kelly too if we can get him out of his hole. And Mo and Evan, we'll do a lot more of these as time goes on. So we appreciate the feedback there. But Evan, just in closing, want to wrap it up here. And we certainly appreciate everybody being with us. But I like the way you said it. You know, I think that this team is headed in the right direction. Yes, it feels bad right now. It always feels bad right after the loss. But we'll see how they do that. And deal with it moving forward. But it's going to be another exciting offseason full of change. We will be covering it. Make sure you subscribe to Evan's podcast, Just Pod Baby. Good stuff. Always there. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. You can also listen to our radio show down in Southern California on Friday nights, and then our Sunday show in Las Vegas on The Fan in Las Vegas. In Southern California, we're on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. And that also gets put up into the podcast feed. So you can subscribe to Just Pod Baby because you can never have too much Raider content. There's great podcasts out there. Listen to all of them. They're great, including ours. Our radio show goes up too, so you have the whole archive as well. So we have to say goodbye. Evan, here we go. Off-season time, all the speculation, all the fun, and we'll get together, I know, soon. Do some more videos here, talk about player moves, coaching moves. I'm sure our next video probably will be about a coach. So we'll have fun with that. But thanks for being with us, man.
Yeah, anytime. Appreciate it. And Raider Nation, keep your head up. Lots to look forward to. It's going to be exciting offseason. So keep your head held high.
All right. And for everybody here at Sportsnot, we appreciate you being with us. Make sure you check out the website. All of our Raiders, great Raiders coverage is going to be on sportsnot.com. That's Sportsnot, N-A-U-T. Not N-O-T, N-A-U-T like astronaut, Sports Not. One of the fastest growing sports websites in the country. Check it out. They cover all sports there, but we will have lots of Raider coverage as well. So we'll have to make sure you're there and check us out. But for everybody at Sports Not, everybody's Silver and Black Today and Just Pod Baby, Evan Grote, I'm Scott Gilbranson. We appreciate you guys being with us. Have a great offseason. We'll be talking to you really soon. Thanks for being with us.